Here we are, about to dive into the mystery that always has been, that is, and always shall be. And with me today is a young brother, Pleiades, a musician that I found with really uplifting, conscious music. And I'm excited to connect with you today, brother, and yeah, if you'd like to introduce yourself and share a bit about your journey of what has transpired to set you on the spiritual quest.
Absolutely. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sharing the space. Grateful to be transmitting and to be received so wholesomely by the demographic of which you have created, but this podcast and the work that you've been doing to share these messages. I'm very grateful to be in this space, be in this now. Here with you. So I do specialize in what I like to say rhymes and transforming lives, because that's essentially the form that it's taken. And at the core of everything that I do is music. It was always like that because I was at age 12, I experienced getting expelled from school. And that was kind of the initial catalyst into what brought me into this awareness. Took a couple years to integrate until I finally was able to consciously align with this catalyst. But throughout that entire time, around at age 12, when that happened, is when I initially started writing music. That was my outlet towards processing the emotion. I didn't have really people to talk to in any realm. So I wrote music, and it was dark, very dark at first. It was just, you know, straight up insulting people, just being angry, getting it out, you know, processing the anger, processing the frustration, all of the different emotions that I was experiencing. And as I started to get a little bit more along the path, I actually stopped writing for about 2 years. Because of a lot of other things going on in my life, just more trauma, no need to get into it, but just that was essentially what brought me into music in the first place, was emotional processing, and to have an outlet to do so and to transmute emotions through writing them down and understanding them, and through by putting them in rhymes. It was like I was like compressing the emotion into a digestible compartment, if that makes any sense. And so I got back into writing music around age 15. I was helping a couple other people through things in their life. And I actually, this one individual I had like a session with where I was just really, you know, dude is going to kill himself. He was going to kill himself the day after I met him. And I basically told him like, yo, take some LSD with me. And If you still want to kill yourself afterwards, you can. But that was the reason why I told him to take LSD with me, because he was very deeply indoctrinated in all of those beliefs that were bringing him to basically all of the beliefs that he was holding would prevent him from receiving that which I would share with him that could transform his life. So I said, okay, this is a boundary dissolving medicine. So let me utilize this. He was open to it, of course. And then his entire life changed. He's a very beautiful person today. You know, within the end of that experience, he had a whole bunch of everything set together for his life, for his next steps and stuff like that. And during this experience, I actually awoken within him, because like, quite frankly, like, what's your purpose in living is your passion. So like finding your passion, I feel like is the number one first step towards living a freaking fulfilling life to any extent. So I was helping him discover his passion, and it was music. And he had all these written in his head and all that stuff. And during this experience, that was like the catalyst that like reignited that flame of music within me. You know, like I saw how much passion he had for it and how it literally saved his life, you know, like literally gave him a reason to live, man. And, you know, that burning passion, like against all everything, priority, passion was just like reignited within me. And I've been making music heavily ever since, you know, haven't really gone very long without putting out a song or a project. I have like, I believe 6 albums across the platforms now and stuff like that, working on 7, 8, and I'm working on like 3 different projects at once now. And So yeah, that's a little bit about where the music came from and what I've always utilized it for. I have like my Pleiades music, which is what most people know me as, the high vibrating channeling codes from source. And then I also have the Derek music, which is my avatar, my human name and whatnot, whatever you want to call it, government name. And that's essentially more emotional processing. You know, I was still throughout the years, even though I was like all of us, we tap into these heavenly frequencies. And then what that does is bring up more of the density to clear, to be given love to. And so I utilize music always as a means of processing energy, whether it's what we call positive energy or negative energy. It's all just energy. So I kind of just like, instead of having one album where it's like some songs will be positive, sometimes it'll be kind of negative, I kind of just like focus on whatever album I'm working on is either going to be, usually it's, yeah, it's just focused on the either Derek music. Like I literally have my second album was called Esoteric Expressions of Derek. Like my fourth one, I think, was called, or fourth or fifth, was called Derek the Human. And then, you know, the Pleiades stuff, the album Satori, the album Productive Procrastination, my first album, the album, my most recent one, Tunes for Ascension. Like that's all just straight light codes.
And, yeah, man, I've been blasting Warrior in a Garden nonstop the last week, man. That's a jam for sure.
Yeah, it's a good one. Homie on the feature, Solipto snapped.
I'd like to get into some of your inspirations, because for me, man, when I kind of hit my spout of depression and darkness, it was in high school, and oftentimes I was turning to hip hop and the underground world of getting into, you know, whether it's a lot of the 90s guys for me, you know, maybe they weren't quote unquote spiritual for where I'm at now, but they were raw, Mobb Deep and Big Pun and these kind of guys, you know, they really exposed me to where we were at now is really different than when it was in that time period. And I always found myself, you know, just not really resonating with the vibrations of the mainstream music of, you know, you can see it now with a lot of, you know, lust and greed and materialism and all of these low frequencies that are really keeping us enslaved as a populace, you know, and you can see the role that art plays in culture, man. And I feel like our art's being weaponized. You know, so that's why I have a lot of respect for what you're doing, because you're a part of the solution and actually resurrecting sacred art back to the collective consciousness, you know, because that's really the guide for the soul of where we're directing ourselves, you know, whether it is painting or music or mythology. So who would you say were some of your musical inspirations?
Oof, definitely big. The biggest one as well was like the 80s, 90s hip hop, man. That was the core of it. It all changed when, you know, I grew up with my mom. She listened to rock music, man. She listened to fucking Papa Roach and like Screamo and stuff like that. Yeah. Not necessarily as much Screamo, but definitely just like alternative rock music and just like all the time. And like, you know, that was just what was around me and stuff like that. And it wasn't until her brother, my uncle, I was like, it was around when I was like 11, 12, you know, homie put me onto underground hip hop. My life has changed. Cause before that, my sister, who's a little bit older than me, she knew about rap. You know what I'm saying? The radio rap music. And then like my uncle, he showed, cause I heard that rap music and I was like, if this is what rap is, I'm good. You know, I'm good. Like, but then he showed me like, you know, the gems. He showed me like, you know, Tribe Called Quest. He showed me like, you know, Wu-Tang Clan. He showed me Big Pun, you know, Big L, you know, all the gems, hieroglyphs. I could list them for years. You know what I mean? All the, you know, all of the underground ones who paved the way for being like me to just drop in on the hip hop scene and just instantly start rapping at the caliber that I do, to be honest with you, is because like I've received the synergetic inspiration from those that paved it. So like definitely some, you know, to list a few like real heavy influences that I would just bump nonstop, like, you know, KRS-One definitely was like one of those that just the way that he spoke, you know, like even outside of his rap, just his voice, like the man had like a preacher voice, you know what I'm saying? And like, I really respected how his rhymes were so fucking cold and he was so like raw and so real with it, with the truth, you know, like with the, you know, with the absolute truth. And then also outside of music alone, like he embodied that. He didn't just talk about these high truths and shit and then just go and live a lifestyle completely out of alignment with it. He definitely embodied that to a large extent in his life and in his teachings. He has mad lectures. He had mad, so much work he did. And then also in the straight lyrical scene, like just lyricism alone, two of my heaviest influences were definitely Tech N9ne and Eminem. I gotta give shouts out to those cats because they definitely paved the way for a lot of like, you know, me learning their lyrics and just like, it was like a thing that I was determined to do. Like when Eminem dropped that song Rap God in 2013, I was like, yo, I gotta learn this. Some of them, I'm a superhuman and I made a run for the energy you can say it's ricocheting off me like glue to you because I'm devastating more than I'm devastating. I gotta give a motherfucking audience a feeling like it's levitating. I was like, I have to learn that. Like, there's no way that, like, that's way too fun. Like, that's what it just feels like. It's so visible. It's just, something about my soul resonated so deeply with like operating at such a high frequency, high caliber of speaking. It was like, it was a familiarity and it just felt so good. I just can't describe it any differently. It just felt so good. So, and then as I started to get even, you know, even further along the path, I would, you know, especially like toward age 18, 19 and stuff like that, that's when like I started to bridge into like more inspiration from different genres and stuff like that. Cause there was a long time in my life when I was, especially when I was younger, like years, you know, once my uncle put me on to all the hip hop and shit like that, like real hip hop. I would look at just about all, like, honestly, like just about like all other forms of music as like, this shit's like repetitive. This shit's like, I despised pop music and like just like singing music as a whole, like music with a hook that repeated itself pretty much. Like that wasn't like really clever. You went something like that where it's just, you're saying like the same two lines for like almost a whole song. I'm like, what are you saying? Like, what if it sounds pretty or whatever, but like what is actually being transmitted here? It's just over and over. But you know, that's where I came from. That's why I value so much in my music, and just like that's why I would have such diverse, unique, complex rhyme structures, because I'm like, I want to make music that like one song is something you got to hear over and over and over and over and over just to hear the full song, just to get it. Just to understand it, to digest it, you know, like I don't want it to be just some surface level. You listen to it once and you already know all the lyrics and you can fucking perform it like the person who made it did. You know what I mean? Like it's an actual, a lot of depth to it. I liked it to have like constantly have more uncovered, because like I would listen to Eminem, especially Eminem, and like I would listen to the cat for years, man. And then like, I'd be listening to the same song for like years, you know, obviously all of his stuff, but like, let's say there's one song like I would specifically listen to or whatever, and then I would hear it like years later, and then I would hear one of the lines and then like it would click, and I would like get the reference, or I would get the metaphor he was saying, or I was, you know, some different layer of understanding it was unlocked over time. And I'm like, that's the type of music I want to make, something that's really lasting to, you know, because it's for the future generations and stuff like that. And just allowing them to kind of like unravel the puzzle that was created in the music and stuff. And that's my biggest with everything that I do now, even beyond music, because at this point in my life, music is the core of everything. And it's my main, when I'm like alone in paradise, what I'm gonna be doing is making fucking music and meditating. And that's for my practices and all that shit, and just making music and incorporating the two. That's my hobby, that's my pastime, it's my passion, it's my life. But music has now kind of evolved into my whole journey of doing different gatherings and making different businesses and different ways of providing service and all of these things. It all started with music. It started to open up the throat chakra. It started to just get the truth, like just blah, 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 and I couldn't stop. saying the truth, you know, my truth, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Just whatever I was feeling, whatever I was experiencing, just expressing that opened up that Vishuddha energy center. And then I was just pouring out. And then that's when my Instagram, that's when I even like made an Instagram. I never had a social media. I never found a purpose for it. I had like a Facebook with like three friends on it when I was, but when I was putting out music originally on SoundCloud in like 2015, 2016, I was like, oh, I got to find some way to let people know that I'm doing things over here. So I made that. And then I was just learning a lot, and I was just needing to get these messages across. So I would just hop on my phone, turn on the camera, and just like start throwing up whatever source is trying to throw up through my vocal cords in that moment. And then I would do that, especially when I was working a job at a factory where I was just like chilling most of the time, every day pretty much. I was just like bored at work and shit like that. So I would just drop videos all the time. And then more and more people start to tune into it. And then because I was so consistent with it, I noticed how that affected it. Like, when I wasn't at, it was just, I was consistent. I wasn't trying to be, I wasn't like, oh, let me make sure I make a post today. It was just, I just had things to say all the goddamn time. So I was just dropping it. And and then started to kind of evolve into something kind of big. You know, people were messaging me all the time, asking me questions, asking about private sessions, you know, and then things evolved like that. And then I ended up, you know, getting called out to perform at a place in California like 2.5 years ago. And then the event hosts, the people who coordinated that event, are now the people I live with. They basically, they reached out to me like when I, at December of 2020, just like 5-6 months ago, and basically said that they got this house that they're looking to turn into like a community healing home and events and gatherings and all these types of things in the home and around the home and the backyard and the park down the street, and just basically turn it into like a hub for conscious community. And they said that they like just couldn't find a better fit than me being here. And then I, you know, I asked Source, yo, where am I supposed to be? Brought me here, and here I am. And it all started with music, and it all was weaving. They found the people who I live with, they found me through music, you know, and then I performed out there. And when I saw the work they were doing, they're actually the ones who inspired me to start Source Gatherings. Source Gatherings is sacred organized union to realize collective evolution. And I've been doing it for about 1.5 years now. I started doing it because I'm from New Jersey. So I was doing it in New Jersey and in the New York area. And a lot of different gatherings. The main Source itself was like a giant festival that's now evolved into retreats and soon to be actual physical centers. The first one we're looking to build is in Hawaii. And, but I was just doing the work for a minute, and just, I was working in the hoods, you know, I was going into places where it was city, there was people on drugs, and there was people who don't even know what meditation is, people who don't know nothing about the lifestyle. And I would just give them dope ass music performances, dope ass food, dope ass activities, dope ass vibes. And then I would just drop in workshops on cosmic consciousness and truth. And then like in between my songs, I'd be like, you know, you're not your body, right? You're aware that we are multidimensional beings, have a transient physical experience for the purpose of your soul's refinement and evolution, and just drop little gems on them like that. Yeah. And then they'd be like wanting more. And I'm like, okay, the world's ready. The world's ready for the straight truth bomb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just all comes back to everyone who paved the way before. The world is so conducive now. We live in a heaven for real. Mm-hmm. And it's just absolutely important to recognize how blessed we are with the environment we got. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. Everything that's happening in the world right now is happening for us. It's not happening to us. It's, you know, supporting, the resistance is supporting us to dig deeper into our souls and to expand in awareness. And I can relate so heavily to what you said for me, my rebel stage when I first like got into conspiracies, it was fueled by real hardcore underground hip hop. And then I reached this point where I realized, you know what? Behind the conspiracies, there's really like spirituality. There's knowledge of self, you know? So when you find that scene of Illuminati Congo, Truth Seeker, Murray Kyle, Trevor Hall, you know, these kind of musicians that are, and like yourself, that are, okay, underground, you know, not many people in the collective know who they are, but are also you know, channeling these messages of pure inspiration that you can feel are unlocking parts of your consciousness that have been dormant, you know. And I'd like you to hit on how you feel like, because you often hear great artists and musicians, they talk about that it's not really them doing anything. Like J.R. Tolkien, he said that Lord of the Rings was already there. He just had to put the paper to the pen. Or the man who wrote The Wizard of Oz, same thing. How do you feel like that is involved in what you're creating, and that you're just kind of you're channeling this, you know, inner genius part of yourself is connecting to the cosmic mind and just flowing through your body?
Absolutely. It's the integral part. It was straight up from the beginning. It was just straight channeling. And it wasn't until my most recent album, Tunes for Ascension, that was the album where I went start to finish consciously channeling the whole joint. Like, I'm talking straight up in meditation, arms up to the fucking sky, spirit bomb like Goku, breathing, doing Kriya breath, like literally putting out the intention to receive every message, vibration, and sound that would activate people's consciousness. And then through that, the inspired energy that I was being given was going through the filter of my lyricism and my musical abilities and all that stuff. So at a certain point, when you're singing or rapping or playing an instrument or whatever music you're doing, you know, you kind of, it can go on like autopilot. You know, when you get in a flow state, you're not thinking. That's the whole point of the flow state, is you're not thinking, you're being, you're feeling. And that feeling presence is the autopilot of the gifts that I've accumulated over lifetimes doing this music stuff. And so allowing the messages to flow through my autopilot form of expression, that's how you get the Pleiades lyricism. All I do is, like, I don't think about the lines. What I do is I just, like, and this is also why I memorize lyrics so quickly, is because, like, I kind of use them as like affirmations. Like, my writing process literally consists of just getting into that meditative state and then channeling out basically the first word, the first line, the beginning of it. And then usually it's like the first line or two. And then, like, I'll keep on repeating those first two lines until the third line pops out. And then literally do that for the whole song. Like, whatever I've written, I'll just keep repeating that and feeling that, and feeling the energy, the emotion, the frequency of those lines. And then whatever line feels right to come next, like, the rhyme just comes out. Like, that's why freestyling is so natural for really any human being who is open in their heart and their throat. At least it's, we all have all these, we all know a language, you know what I mean? Like, at least one language, and you know all the rhyming words. It's just a matter of, like, getting into the frequency to where you can see how they all connect and interweave. And yeah, so that was kind of the autopilot of that. And channeling, like, I recognized how much I channeled really specifically when I was doing, like, private sessions, like one-on-ones with people, like working them through energy and moving energy for their healing and stuff like that. That was like 2018, 2019, that I really seriously was like, all right, this isn't even like a concept anymore. I literally said something that I didn't know, and I taught myself it by saying it to somebody. Like, that was the real realization that I was like, okay, like, I fully channel. Like, that's a thing that's possible. And many of us experience that when, like, you know, for me, it was like specifically in like private sessions where I was creating a very sacred portal and space and intention. But even people holding space, like, you know, I'm sure most of us have had a friend or a family member or a loved one who comes up and just experiencing some type of life tragedy. And then you just instantly become a guru who's able to just, like, reflect, like, exactly what they need to hear from the heart space type of thing. That's a form of channeling. That's straight up channeling, is just channeling source truth. And the key is being in the heart center. And that's why it usually happens when people are, like, holding space for, like, emotions and shit, because they're feeling. when you're in the logic brain, someone's upset, rather than you being like, oh, all you need to do is blah, 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 and you'll be fine. It's just a logical solution to everything that you're experiencing. It's like, now when you transcend that logical state and then you come into the feeling center, that's when you can actually channel, not channeling regurgitated information that's fractalized from source, actually channeling direct source energy, which comes from the feeling center. So that's a little bit about how I consciously started channeling. You know, I feel like everyone channels all the time, but like, you know, doing it with intention and presence, that was like around, yeah, my most recent album, that's all channeled straight up.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I could channel or even knew that it was a thing until I started freestyling a few years ago and was just seeing how I didn't even have to think. It was just coming to me. And then it's like you said, all the dots, they're already connected. You just need to realize it. And source, if you're in that space, source is just going to be streaming through you. And you feel like this channel of inspiration and aspiration, you know, you're inspired and then you're reflecting to others to aspire to where the inspiration's coming from, you know. And I'd like to hear the meaning behind your name, because I've definitely researched like Bringers of the Dawn, Barbara Marciniak. You know, that there's this time that we're in right now where souls are incarnating on the earth specifically for this time to activate human consciousness, to become in harmony with the sacred once again, and resurrect back towards, you know, we've been in this dark age for a while, and these light bringers, you know, that are among humanity right now are here to really bring us back towards source, towards the ideal. So yeah, why is your name Pleiades?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a, you pretty much said it, you know, to be a bringer of the dawn. You know, at first it wasn't conscious. Like the reason I chose the name Pleiades was really just, you know, when I was like 15, getting back into music and shit, I was like, you know, got to have a rap name or whatever. And I was mm-hmm. like, you know, just filling it out. I was like, at first, my very first rap name was called DNA, actually, because my, like I said, my government name is Derek Alexander, DA. So like DNA, like D and A, and the N instead of and just DNA. And I felt like that was a ripoff of Eminem, because his Marshall Mathers, Eminem mm-hmm. or whatever. And then it became the spelling, because he didn't want to be like the fucking candy or whatever. But then I was like, I guess I'm gonna name myself Space Time or some shit. It's the only thing I resonate with, and fuck it if I need a name. And then it was actually when I started to remember the Pleiadian connection through a song I heard. It was by Jaden Smith and Tao called Pleiadian Message in like 2015. I heard that song and it activated like all types of things inside of me, man. That song fucking act. I didn't know what the fuck a Pleiadian was. I didn't even think into the name Pleiadian Message. I just heard the song and like, he was like, Pleiadian emissary of light, welcome me to your planet. I'm coming in from a flight. Like he was just really like straight up and down, just speaking as the perspective of the Pleiadians. And I didn't know who or what the Pleiadians were. I wasn't thinking about it, but it was the words that he was saying that was really activating. And I was meditating with that after I listened to that song. And then I started to really see the Pleiades like in my field and like the star system and getting all types of like, you know, memories and stuff like that, but very subtle, you know, nothing very like tangible, nothing I could really like even speak too much about it at the time. I was just like getting so much feelings of activation and remembrance. And then I did eventually down the line start to actually look into the Pleiades, the star system itself. And, you know, I found a whole bunch of synchronicities between my natal chart and the Pleiades. Like the Pleiades is in the Taurus constellation. That's my sun sign and a bunch of different little things like that. And just starting to connect the dots. And then I felt just like this high resonance without doubt. Like, you know, I never like, when it comes to like people looking at their starseed genetics and like, you know, what extraterrestrial races they may have spent many lives on and many things like this, I never really had much of a period in my life where I was like that. I just kind of knew that I was that the Pleiadians were something that I was and I was connected to, and whatever the case was, I never really, you know, I heard all about the Androgynans, Avians, and all the things. And, you know, I was like, they're interesting, but I never felt a resonance like the Pleiades. All the messages, you know, Pleiades, they're not even the highest vibrating. They're one of the lower oscillating in terms of the dimensions between all the higher ones. That's why they're so heavily involved in Earth, is because they're kind of like just like our bigger brothers and sisters. You know, they're only like a couple dimensions above us. And so, I felt that resonance. And then it just was like, if I got to embody the energy of a sound vibration to have my creator name as anything, it might as well be Pleiades. So originally it was Pleiades the Pleiadian, like that whole name, Pleiades the Pleiadian, for everything on Spotify and all that. And then just, you know, for practical purposes, I just said, take out the Pleiadian. It's implied. That's like saying human, the humanity or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I just said Pleiades. And then the three eyes, that's when I added the three eyes to it, when I took out the Pleiadian, because it just resonated. It was when I was starting to have activations and actually meditate and see things with that and decalcify it and all these things. So that's where Pleiades came from, channeling the energy of the stars in the form of rhyme. And then it became obviously all the other stuff in the gatherings, and literally just like becoming a teacher at this point. And like, that's where that comes from.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that, brother. I think that's amazing. And, you know, for those listeners who maybe don't know much about, you know, different dimensions and different interdimensional races, you know, which can be sort of a fringe topic for some people, but isn't that a part of our job of speaking our truth, of making people more aware of what's really out there, that this is such a vast universe? So, how would you explain what is the Pleiadians' work in evolving human consciousness? Why do you feel like they're wanting to be in co-creation with humanity right now?
Absolutely. Great question. So, like I said, they're literally our older brothers and sisters, yo. They come from the same, like, human life is not exclusive to Earth. It is a blueprint of life that has occurred throughout our universe. They come from the same genetic blueprint as us, the angelic human blueprint. And they essentially were in a different star system with this blueprint and went through their evolutionary journey. Like, they're just hundreds of millions of years more evolved than us. Imagine just humanity, like millions and millions and millions of years in evolution, what state that would bring you into. So these are the higher oscillating planes of our reality that they operate within. And in regards to why they would have involvement with the human experience is because of the fact that when you get into these higher dimensional realms of reality and you're specifically serving the light, which is, it's an optional free, we're in a free will universe. You could choose to serve the dark, or you could choose to serve the light, or you could choose not to. And then that's basically just serving the self service to self rather than service to others way. But those who operate within the realm of serving others, serving the light, they exist at the higher oscillating planes to reduce the time duration between lessons, because they essentially function to continue the evolution of existence at as much as of an accelerated rate as they can, thinking of creative, new, innovative ways to continue the universe's expansion, its exploration of self, its expression itself of self, its reception of different perspectives of self, its gratification of self, all of these different things. We're here to be conduits for the universe understanding itself at a deeper level. So they basically see that humans are open and receptive to certain extents of their influence. So they're here to facilitate that, because if you have, imagine in a more human perspective, if you have like a younger cousin or something like that, if you see your cousins out here like just getting in trouble at school and just like not doing anything that's aligning with them and stuff like that, wouldn't you, if you were in a space in your life to do so, you know what I'm saying, have the impulse to be like, hey, yo, nephew, your niece, you ain't got to really do that. Or, I mean, well, that's uncle, but like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever family member, you know, you don't got to do that. You don't got to do that. There's another way. Here's an option for you to live a life that's more harmonious, just because you love the motherfucker. You know what I mean? It's family right there. You have deep compassion and empathy for them. So therefore you want to see them grow, which is then going to, you know, everyone around them is going to benefit from that. So like, that's kind of like a real human perspective of like understanding why they care to even channel these potent messages and give us this guidance, because they just, it's based off of the love frequency, man. All the higher ups in our universe know this is a feeling universe. It's not a thinking universe, it's a feeling universe. So they feel deeply all the time. So they have just unconditional love guiding their guidance. So that's really what it is like these loving older brothers and sisters or whatever that are just here to give us that unconditional space of love, like some true family stuff, just for the purpose of wanting us to grow and therefore allowing them to serve their highest purpose, and they're continuing to grow too. It's not just a completely selfless act. Something to recognize is like, as the Pleiadians and all higher dimensional beings serving the light assist us and guide us along our journey and facilitate us to further grow, they grow as a product of that. It's not like they're just over here like watching us grow, whatever. Like when we grow, they grow. So it's a mutually beneficial reciprocal energy exchange. And so, yeah, and they say it straight up in that Barbara Marciniak book, Bringers of the Dawn. They're like, yo, we just letting you know, like, We're gaining off of this as well. We're not just trying to make it seem like this is all, you know, it doesn't affect you, but we do gain from this, you know, and that's another reason why we do this. But it really is based off of, even if they didn't gain from it, chances are they would still be doing this stuff because they fucking love us if they're in a space to do so.
Yeah, it really ties into, you know, the whole concept of all is self. And like you said, actually feeling this to be true, checking in meditation and, you know, feeling the river, feeling the trees, the birds around you, and how, for me, I find that nature is almost really this canvas for all the higher dimensions. Like everything that's in the cosmos is actually right here on Earth. And those interdimensional higher beings, they use, you know, this foundation of Earth to work through. And I like that you said, you know, they grow too, because it's really understanding how all the dimensions are interacting with one another. So, you know, interwoven in the evolutionary process of, you know, man almost representing like their lower self. And what it kind of brought up for me is like, when your lower self comes up in a meditation, do you want to be harsh to it? Do you want to stamp it out? Or do you want to like actually hold it with love inside yourself? You know, and seeing that these Pleiadians are really just a part, they are us in the future, you know, and seeing this whole transmission of paying it forward reminds me so hard of the Native American saying to all my relations, and recognizing that we have to do the same thing of paying it forward to the mineral, the plant, and the animal kingdom, just as these higher beings do for us, you know, all out of service of the divine and co-creating more knowledge of self. Is really just like, it's so deep and deeply ingrained in our DNA to know more aspects of who we are.
Another thing to take into consideration before we end the topic of star seeds, or just on the topic of star seeds and stuff, that I definitely feel is necessary to talk about for the listeners that are just getting into this stuff, or just anyone period, is that don't get so hung up on a specific starseed genetics, because we have like all of them. We have 12 strands of DNA within us. Each one of these 12 strands of DNA correspond to the civilization of a different higher dimensional star system. Earth is a living library of the compendium of basically a discography of all of the wisdom, insights, guidance, strength, and best aspects genetically of a lot of the higher dimensional planetary energies, and just like the civilizations that have just gone through evolution and billions, billion, billions of years old and stuff like that. Like, they devoted their genetics in the form of one of our DNA strands, and 12 different civilizations from the stars did that. So we have at least 12 extraterrestrial genetic blueprints within like everybody. Whether or not you have access to that, most people only have like 2, 3, or 4. The double helix, that's only 2 strands of DNA. They tell us that we only have that, and the rest is junk DNA in science. But the junk DNA, they call it junk because they don't understand its purpose. It doesn't mean it's junk. It's one man's junk is another man's treasure, if you know what I'm talking about. You know, once you understand what that shit is, that's how you fully bring online all of the DNA, and then you start to remember all of the wisdom and insights and guidance and everything from all the different star systems that really went into our creation. And so I just really emphasize not to get too hung up on like finding your starseed genetics, because it becomes a form of escapism. You know, people are like, I don't want to be human. They almost see being human as like, eh. And these other star, human is the shit, man. Human is taking all those different star systems and making it into one integrated being. The only reason that people have that stereotype about humans is because they're looking at humans based off of the 2-strand genetics. They're looking at humanity based off of an individual with 2, maybe 3 strands of DNA brought back online, you know, because back hundreds of thousands of years ago, humans went through this thing with other malevolent extraterrestrial beings that basically restructured our DNA and scrambled it so that we didn't have all of that active. But they didn't take it out. They couldn't do that. Well, I don't know if they couldn't, but they didn't do that. They scrambled it. So it's still in us. It's just a matter of bringing ourselves into a state of natural oscillation to where it literally puts itself together like a puzzle and our DNA activates itself. That's why living in alignment with this path, these modalities, these practices, this way of thinking, this way of being, this way of talking, this way of being, this is allowing our DNA to naturally put itself back together and bring ourselves back into our organic, superpowered, godly, goddess-like state. And don't get hung up on a specific starseed. Don't get what starseed am I? There's many different tests and like videos online. Like, oh, if you fit under these criteria, you're an avian. If you fit under these criteria, you're an Andromedan, like whatever the case may be. And it's, you're all of them. You're all of them. So the extent to where specific energies have a predominance in your field, to the extent to which that's relevant for your path, that will naturally come to you. Like, I wasn't looking for no starseed. I didn't even know what a starseed was when I found out I was a Pleiad. Like, you know, I was connected to the Pleiades. I found that stuff out afterwards. You know, I just found the resonance, and it was shown to me in meditation and stuff, which I was doing a lot at the time, like kind of in between. I was in a funny place in my life, but I was diving into those states a little bit. I was just starting to. And because I've seen that. I've seen people kind of take that as an obsession. And like I said, it does become like an escapism of not wanting to be human and wanting to identify with something else. But when you can be content with your identity as a human, is ironically when you will access more of your multidimensional identity as a natural byproduct.
I love that, man, because I've seen, you know, the New Age movement has brought in a lot of good, you know, so many cosmic concepts come into the forefront. But then there's also this co-opting going on where, like you said, the escapism, you know, we're not meant to be aesthetics in this time. We're not meant to be go meditating, you know, out in the cliffs and not like doing our work in the world. There's something being called forward for us to actually, you know, uplift our brothers and sisters. And, you know, the body isn't a prison. Like, we need to get out of that whole Gnostic dynamic, because the body is a sacred vessel. And I love that you said that it is accumulation of all these star races, and not to get hung up on one. And I feel the same way also with reincarnation, and not to get hung up on like one ancestry line. Because think of how many, like, I feel deeply in my heart that there's such thing as earth seeds and star seeds. Like, I do believe there's beings who are like so bound up with the earth, they've reincarnated here many different times and are ascended at the same time. Like, it's not like a lower or higher path per se. Like,
a lot of the ancient indigenous cultures, like the Native Americans and the shamans, mm-hmm. they got their shit straight from the Lumerians, who were basically they were around during the times of the Atlanteans, and they were the ones who didn't make the mistakes that the Atlanteans did of getting so caught in the external environment and the technology. Mm-hmm. the technological ascension rather than the inward, you know, energetic ascension, which is the true incension, true re-evolutionary determinism is within. And that's how you access the stargates to be able to bring your Merkaba online and literally move dimensions. Like those beings, the ones who are floating on the oceans in the ancient world, the ones that they're literally the statues of Easter Islands. Those statues are the Lumerians. They were the water protectors. They were the ones who watched over the Stargate and protected it. They were the real OG, the OGs of our world back in the day. And they gave a lot of their wisdom directly to the, I mean, basically like the Native American cultures are derived from them. They got their wisdom and insights from the Lumerians. Back in the ancient times on the Earth, the Lumerians would basically just like, all the rituals, all of the different, that's where they get that stuff from, is through the heads of Easter Islands. You know, that's where that's straight up where they got that stuff from. And, you know, with the Earth seeds and star seeds, like the typical star seed, like idea and concept comes from an event called the Harmonic Convergence of 1987, where the Earth was in complete neutrality. Yep. And after the Earth was in complete neutrality, which prior to that, the Earth was in predominantly dark energy, you know, for like a very long time, let's just say like that, an extraordinarily long time, the Earth was under a reign of predominantly dark energy or negative energy, service, self, malevolent, emotional intent. And then through the light workers implementing pillars of light throughout times, the Buddhas, the Jesuses, the Einsteins, the all the people that like really kept the light alive and kept the truth very potently alive. After at some point, it all culminated into 1987 to where the Earth was completely neutral. And then from that state, all the higher selves orchestrating the constructive endeavor of bringing Earth back into a predominant light frequency. At that time, that's when, if you ever heard of the work of Dolores Cannon, she talks about the call. You know, that call was pretty much sent out in 1987 in Earth plane. And that was basically just reaching out to all the star seeds, all the star families of all the higher dimensional receptive civilizations to get the message. Earth has been dark for so long. And if we don't implement this new frequency, it is going to take its course into the prophecy of new world order, apocalypse, end of the times, planetary destruction type of deal. And that actually wasn't really something that the higher dimensionals were really willing to let happen, not just because they loved humans so much. It was a bit deeper than that. Earth has a stargate on it. And that's one of the 12 stargates of our entire universe. That literally affects our entire universe, what happens to the stargate. So it's a bit, they love us, and it's even deeper than that. So they had a lot of initiative, let's just put it like that. And so, you know, all the volunteers that came from different star systems, there's a lot of beings that are here at this time, literally just to devote their life to being a frequency and nothing else, just to hold the grid down. And a lot of those beings, literally, this might be their first incarnation ever on Earth. You know, they are from completely different star systems and times and densities and energies and all that stuff. And they were just, you know, nice enough to give us their frequency to facilitate this ascension process. And then, like you said, there are those who are kind of indigenous to Earth who've been doing this work, holding these frequencies, doing this stuff for mad long. And then I guess those are the ones you could call the Earth seeds. So in that way, we do have a combination of both when it comes to facilitating the Earth's evolutionary process, is the Earth seeds, the ones who've been in here getting that groundwork going, you know what I'm saying? And then there was the ones from the stars who were basically like, yo, I don't really like Earth, to be honest with you. It's very dense. It's a very hatred place, but like, I'm willing to help y'all evolve and stuff like that. And I'll spend a life or two there, just devoting my frequency to allow it to be a higher vibrating consciousness for life to evolve there in the future. And also, like I said, for purposes of maintaining the integrity of the Stargate with light, rather than it being predominantly taken over by the forces of dark, for lack of better words, dark and light being two sides of the same coin. You already know.
Feeling into the synchronicity of Earth being an anagram for heart. And the fact that, you know, seeing it as like the heart of this planetary chain and everything right now seems to be an attack by the dark forces on the heart, which is like, I see why they chisel away at like, especially manhood in this time of what it means to be a man, is because if you can take out the men, then you can get to the feminine, which is the heart, Mother Gaia, you know, which reminds me so hard of just like resurrecting that true pillar of, you know, what it means to be a sovereign individual in this time and a protector of the sacred. You know, I want to tie it back a little bit because I really like the thread that you were going down with Lemuria and Atlantis, which are topics that really excite me. Feeling into like the Hopi cosmology, they talk about ages in the past that end with different elemental destructions. So, you know, we can look at mythology as, you know, just these weird fantasies of people in the past, or we can actually see them as encoding living histories. They're not only just in the mind, but they're actually historical. And, you know, one of these civilizations falls by fire and one of the civilizations falls by water. And these are the Lemurian and the Atlantean age. And I'd like to tie that back in of, you know, what level of consciousness are we looking at when we go back into what seems to be the past, but was actually almost the future, when you get into this dynamic of, you know, not really seeing time as a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, quite frankly, like understanding the equinox cycles and the you know, the precession of human consciousness, when you look at time, it's not this linear, just like progression and evolution is just like, you know, the longer ago it was, the less evolved it was. The universe happens in cycles. Everything happens in cycles. Everything is constantly moving within certain cycles that the Mayans depicted in their calendars and their systems of understanding the precessions of the equinoxes and all these different types of things. All the Sumerian texts, all the ancient texts hint at it. Even the Bible, you know, all of the religions, they talk about these types of cycles of consciousness based off of astrological influence. Because really think about it. If we are in a planet, that planet has an orbit around higher gravitationally influenced bodies. And that's just straight energy. And energy influences consciousness, which is what we are. We are Earth. We are walking, talking, farting, breathing, talking Earth. And so what energies influence the Earth influence the consciousness on the Earth. So where the Earth is astrologically in our cosmos is going to depend upon the energies that it's being influenced by, and that's going to affect the consciousness of the beings on the planet. So there's a major great year, 25,000 year cycle. It's actually like 25,640 years, something like that. I forget the rest of the numbers, but 25,000 year cycle around actually the center of the central sun of the Pleiades star cluster, Alcyon. Our sun is orbiting around Alcyon, that many people call the central sun, the center, whatever. People say the center of our galaxy. The center of our galaxy is a black hole for reasons that we could talk about forever. But basically, we're orbiting around this giant sun, which is 1,500 times bigger than our sun. So motherfuckers big, a lot of energy. As we get closer to this star, the energy increases of our planet, and we experience Renaissance periods, times of great progression, times of innovation, times of great abundance. That's what we're moving into now as we're making this podcast in 2021. That's exactly what we're evolving into. So essentially, like, this high conscious period, like, we're just now getting into this high conscious period. Imagine when we are at the tip top of it, when we're at the peak of this high, like, Renaissance consciousness. That's how we can imagine the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, because that's where they were astrologically during that time. So it's literally just before they went through the cycle of falling of the astrological, like, basically before they went through the fall of consciousness, which it is influenced by the stars and stuff like that. But here's something that's important. When like, we don't have to necessarily go through this fall of consciousness. The reason why they did go through the fall of consciousness was because when the astrological energies orchestrated in the way that the consciousness of the planet was going down, they didn't have their Merkabas activated enough to become immune to it. Because basically the whole idea is, once we get into this peak of this Renaissance period, our civilization reaches a point to where we're able to access our Merkaba, which I've mentioned it a couple times already. Essentially, the Merkaba is the activation of the light body. It's when we clear all of our individual chakras, meaning the seven major energy chakras within the body and then the five major energy centers outside of the body. When we have all 12 of our major chakras in alignment with one another, that's when we start to allow this Merkaba, it's just like a vehicle to be accessed. It's basically like two vortexes of energy, one going out from the crown and one going down from the root, of like the masculine going up and the feminine going down. And they're invariantly, like, one is spinning clockwise, the other one's spinning counterclockwise. And this is allowing us to bring all of our chakras completely in center with the center of the earth and the center of the galaxy and this and the central sun. And this allows us to basically become immune to like everything. And that being said, we're able to move through everything, because what it literally does on a, like a more, on a more grounded perspective, is it allows our antiparticles and our particles to collide with one another, to merge with one another without annihilating. You know, you've seen CERN, the Hadron Particle Collider or whatever. You know, you take a particle, Max, which is antiparticle and stuff like that. Actually, that's not what the experiments they were necessarily doing, but just in general, if you take a particle and an antiparticle, put them together, in most scenarios, it's going to create like a fucking nuclear explosion. That's literally what like, you know, atomic nuclear bombs are and stuff like that. But the magic with the Merkaba is, when we're in this state, we are able to allow that to, they merge instead of colliding and annihilating each other. They merge and blend together without annihilating each other. And then from that state, we literally are malleable to everything in the universe, is either antimatter or matter, you know, is it, for lack of better words. And like those two dualistic understandings of everything, when you become both of those, that's how you're literally able to move through dimensions, is by being matter and antimatter at the same time. And that's what the Merkaba is. But to get to that state, you have to do a, you have to activate the energy centers within yourself. The Atlanteans were trying to create technology to do that. They understood, you know, the Merkaba. They understood the deep meditation. They were going inward. They were high conscious, evolved beings. But then, for reasons beyond the scope of this conversation, they started to develop technology to be able to be like, you know, it's cool, we know how to do it within ourselves, but what if we could create technology to where someone doesn't even have to learn how to do it? We could just put them in this machine and boom, their Merkaba's online and stuff like that. Beautiful idea, pure intentions and all that jazz. But then they got so invested into that, that during the time that when the shift in consciousness started to fall, they didn't have that technology perfected, for lack of better words. And they, most of them, like most of them, basically fell with the consciousness because they didn't have their inward Merkaba activated and things like this. Mm-hmm. And it even ended up spawning in wars and all types of things. And it was pretty wild. But essentially where we're moving at now with our conscious civilization is, when we're in this cycle, we're going to have our Merkabas activated when the time does eventually come to where the astrological cycles are going to, you know, revolve back into the digressing period and stuff like that, to where we're not going to have to really, unless an individual were to, on their subjective journey, choose not to align with this frequency, choose not to align with this path, there's the option to not have to ever experience this deep fall of consciousness like ever again. Once you learn how to become immune to it and maintain this high conscious energy, rather than just being in it and just like, you know, in the waves of the ocean, like, oh, the waves are nice now, this is dope, rather than when the waves go back down and you're just like, oh, I guess I'm with this. It's like you're in this state of high energy oscillation, And it's learning how to integrate that. It's learning how to embody and become that so that when the factors that guided you to that state in the first place are no longer facilitating your perpetuation of that state, it doesn't matter because you've now learned how to do it. And like, I'm going to just say this for anyone who watches Dragon Ball Z or like anime like that. In the Dragon Ball movie where he becomes a god originally, I forget what the movie's called, but when he has the red hair and shit like that, he basically, there was a whole bunch of other, what they call Super Saiyans around him to give him the energy to get into the state of a god form, right? Mm-hmm. And then he was fighting this god of destruction, Beerus. They're fighting, doing their thing. He's trying to protect Earth. He was doing a good job protecting Earth. And then basically the transformation of the god, Super Saiyan god form or whatever, wore off, right? The artificial like boost of energy, that spike in energy that he was given wore off. But then he was still fighting with this god of destruction in his limited and non-godly state. And then like at one point they paused and he was like, yo, why am I able to still, he said, you're not in your god form anymore. And he said, I don't feel different. I'm still whipping your ass. Let's do it. Let's keep going. And then he was like, it must have been because your cells remembered the state that they accessed. And now you have more fluent access to it. And that's what we're moving into, is like there's many different states of being, there's many different circumstances and many different influences that are bringing us into this high oscillation. But now it's a matter of recognizing that once we're here, we don't ever have to leave it again. It's like when you have a memory, let's say you had a really great memory, just the perfect day ever, your most perfect, amazing day where every single second of the day was just like, this is the best day ever. And then let's say down the line, you're not having the best day ever. You can literally remember that day and then retrieve all of the emotions. You can feel all of the emotions all over again in this present moment after having, maybe you just stubbed your fucking toe, man. And you're just like really upset about it for some reason. And like, you can remember that memory of where you had an incredibly amazing day and then extract the state of being from it because you've experienced it. We hold all of the memory of everything we've ever experienced in our genetic code, in our waters, in our being. So we have access to that should we intend to do so. So yeah, our consciousness is going to be extraordinarily integrated in that realm with this cycle around because we learned from the Atlanteans and basically like where they kind of didn't prioritize that. You know, we're going to learn from our ancestors, which were just us. They were literally us, just incarnated differently.
Yeah. The Aztecs talk about, they use the different suns as different ages, and we're just leaving an external sun. And I feel like, okay, there's a lot of externalization of power, but we're merging into the age of the internal sun now. So it's more of building, like you said, the Merkaba, this inner technology, rather than seeing technology as just computers or like, to me, I see mythology as a technology for activation, you know, starting to see things from that right brain, that feeling center where you're recognizing the organic, the Taurus fields. These kind of technologies. But yeah, we're about getting to the hour, man. I really liked the thread that you just went on there. There's so much amazing, empowering cosmic blueprints that we're able to access right now because the collective is engaging in this kind of thought. And it reminds me of when they were saying, you know, man can't run a mile in under 4 minutes. And then someone does it and then boom, like just like that, months later, like a bunch of people all over the world are starting to run.
Like, oh, it's possible.
Yeah. So yeah, thinking about how the same dynamic that you said on the individual is the same on the collective right now. And as we're like doing work on ourselves, it's not selfish to know thyself because we're actually deepening the healing of humanity as we do our meditation or qigong or cold therapy or get into flow states or medicine journeys. You know, we're actually working to co-create a new planet. So yeah, brother, thank you so much for coming on. If you wanted to give some final thoughts and plug where people can find you, it was really inspiring to share this conversation with you today, man.
Absolutely. Like I said from the beginning, I'm just grateful to have had this space to be able to share and be able to be received, be able to express. And so, you know, you can find me as Pleiades, Pleiades. You can go to Pleiades.com. A lot of people follow me on Pleiades on Instagram. It's just same thing, just at Pleiades. And the Source Gatherings, you can follow at Source Gatherings, all under space, all under case, no nothing. It's just at Source Gatherings. And also you can go to sourcesanctum.com, which I'm just now finishing this website exclusively for Source. And yeah, all my music is on all platforms. You can find it everywhere. Just type up Pleiades, just wherever you type up Pleiades. You might have to tell the search engine on Google that you meant to type it with three I's, not one I, because it'll sometimes correct that and stuff like that. But yeah, not sure when you're going to post this podcast, but just a little call to action for anyone who resonates with these frequencies. The next retreats that we're going to be doing is actually coming up. I just got back from Florida doing Source Gatherings there, and now our first Source retreat is going to be in Mount Shasta, California, May 7th to May 10th, coming up. It's the 19th, we're recording this and stuff like that. So May 7th to May 10th is going to be the first retreat, and it's called Crystallize, which is an acronym for Consciously Representing Universal Source Truth to Automate Living in Zero Point Energy. Crystallize. And that's Crystallize 1.0, May 7th to May 10th, and the West Coast in Mount Shasta, California, under Root Chakra of the Earth, no mind you. And then later on the same month, coming up May 21st to May 24th in Ithaca, upstate New York, we're going to be doing Crystallize 2.0. So we're going to be doing that same retreat pretty much in Ithaca, upstate New York, for the West Coast, for the East Coast fam. And quickly developing, and like all of the funds that like I personally would profit from this are going directly towards creating the very first Source Sanctum, which is a full-on healing center where we're doing this stuff every day, all day, and people are living there to receive healings, receive entirely new school curriculums, receive entirely different ways of, or basically integrated ways of all of the different modalities to perform healing arts and all these different ways, new economies, permaculture communities, all the stuff that you would imagine with a healing center in Hawaii. So the very first Source Sanctum is going to be built in Hawaii, and we're currently generating funds for that, generating resources and allowing it to crystallize. So if you do participate in coming to Crystallize and you buy a ticket or whatever, just know that like you're fueling the actualization of the very first physical center for us, the very first school blueprint, essentially creating a new curriculum of new earth education and starting that, getting off the ground. And then we're going to be spreading it all around the world. Who knows beyond that point where it's going to be, definitely outside of the country, but we're looking to anchor in major pillar points, like probably at least California, New York area, Florida area, Hawaii area, the middle of the country, certain parts, and then like starting to go out outside of the country and implement the structure elsewhere. So that's pretty much the vision. That's what I'm devoted my entire life to. You know, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of the time I'm physically incarnate. So to the extent to which you align, we would absolutely love to have you there. There's different payment options. There's, you know, we're open with working with you. If you feel extremely called to be there and you don't even have the funds to be able to fully pay for your ticket, we still reach out and we can work something out, because I'm very strongly passionate about providing the tools for those that align. You know, if you very much are embodied and along this path, but you truly genuinely just don't have the money for it, whatever you can, we'll work with you where we're at. We could form some type of energy exchange. We could form, you know, you could do some, help us with the something behind the scenes or whatever the case may be. It's a very free, open dynamic. So it takes money to make these things happen, which is the only reason why we're using money in the first place. But as we move into different currencies, different currents of chi in the future, it's going to be all service-based bartering economy anyway. So, you know, we're completely open to different offerings such as that, because I'm here to spread the blueprint. I'm here to do it as widespread as I can.
Awesome, brother. Well, I'm deeply inspired by your creatorhood that you're stepping into and reflecting to me to, you know, be a paradigm shifter upon this planet, you know, and to not doubt yourself for your age. I mean, you're only 20 years old, man. It's really special to see like the waves that you're making on the planet right now. For, you know, I'm sure you're not 20 in soul age, but still you've only been here for 20 years. So it's a really amazing movement that you're starting. And I look forward to hearing more about it. I'm very, very interested. So thank you to the listeners for tuning into this. And yeah, leave a rating and review on the podcast if you can, help spread the message.
Absolutely. So grateful to be here, my brother. Mahalo for having this space being open. Thank you for everyone receiving, and may source be with you all. Mm-hmm.